Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Nothing is more important to us than the health and safety of the people who use our products. We have got that story. Plus, speaking of great products, Monarchy at 20. But first, 4 years older than that, and the catalyzing catastrophic event behind all of this, 9/11 plus 24 non-updates, we're calling it. As we've discussed all of this in the previous decades before, except for one interesting note coming up. Court called off key 9/11 suspects. Plea deal, here's where the case stands. This going back to July of this year. Of course, the feared KSM, the United States' long legal case against accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, remains in limbo after an appeals court back in July scrapped a plea deal that the government had negotiated but had later withdrawn. Classic government. Essentially, the ruling leaves the case on track for trial before a military commission, which I think is about where we were 20 years ago. It is unclear when that might happen. So again, yeah, no new updates there. Mohammed is accused of developing, directing Al-Qaeda's plot to crash hijacked airliners into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001. Another of the hijacked planes totally flew into a field in Pennsylvania. In all, nearly 3,000 people were killed in one of the deadliest attacks ever on the United States. Far more killed by the lies about the air is safe to breathe, but we'll save that for another time. Mohammed was arrested in 2003 in Pakistan and eventually taken to the U.S. military base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, which Obama completely shut down. At the time, it was where the U.S. held hundreds of men captured in President George W. Bush's War on Terror. And if you're mad about what Trump's able to do, he wouldn't be able to do any of it if the guy before him hadn't done what he'd done. So Obama was able to do what he did because Bush was doing what he was told to do on the War of Terror. Military prosecutors filed charges in 2008 against KSM and some co-defendants. After an Obama-era plan to try them in a civilian court in New York collapsed, the case remained with the military commission. The case dragged on through years of legal and logistical challenges. A major point of contention has been how much of the evidence and case had been tainted by the man's decades of torture while in CIA custody during the first years after their capture. Mohammed was waterboarded and admitted 183 times. As we have noted in the decades of New World Next Week, you would admit to things you couldn't have possibly done as well to make the torture stop. Yeah, I plotted to blow up the Liberty Tower that doesn't exist yet, sure. Military prosecutors and defense lawyers began plea talks several years ago. Last year, Mohammed and two others agreed to plead guilty under an agreement that would have led to life in prison instead of a potential death penalty. The deal also would have required the men to answer questions posed by 9/11 victims' relatives, the ones who, of course, had already agreed, maybe what, not to be able to sue? Not, of course, the Jersey families and the ones who have real questions. Military prosecutors called the arrangement the best path to finality and justice. Some 9/11 families also saw the deal as the best hope for bringing the painful case to some kind of conclusion and getting some answers from the defendants. But others' victims' relatives said a trial was the right way to get justice and information, and some saw the plea deal as capitulation. Republican lawmakers also criticized the government, negotiated during Democrat President Joe Biden's administration. Then Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin rescinded the deal, saying that victims' relatives, U.S. troops, and the American public deserve the opportunity to see military commission trials play out. Military commission trials will not be seen by anyone. Defense attorneys and the government wrangled in various courts over whether Austin was legally able to scrap the deal off again, on again for months. A panel of appeals judges put it on hold in January and then, on Friday in July, issued a 2-1 ruling saying Austin had the authority to rescind the agreement. The order bars the military from taking any guilty pleas under the now undone deal. It is not clear whether defense lawyers plan to appeal. A message seeking comment was sent Saturday to Mohammed's attorneys. Without a plea deal, the case would once again be back in the pretrial stage when the military commission system, with the legal and logistical complications it has faced, questions about whether the men's torture would prevent the use of evidence, including statements they made, are yet to be resolved. the other non-updates we have on our 9/11 Plus 24 segment on this New World Next Week, episode 603, The Unanswered Questions of 9/11, a classic bit of work from James, yours truly. That means you, James Corbett, published September 11th, 2012. Again, James, we've been doing this now for so long, we're able to cite our decades ago work on this. One last one, which is kind of wild. Crazy, if true. Stunning revelations at Ground Zero. OEM cop blocked from entering Building 7 by man with a machine gun. Hosts Andy Steele and co-host Craig McKee on the 9/11 Free Fall podcast series blown away by some of the revelations of Richard Bielicki, a police officer assigned to the mayor's Office of Emergency Management. And James, there's no real great spot to put in any of this while we are discussing 9/11, but we are taping this, as usual, at least 24 hours before most folks are seeing this. It is September 10th, 2025. Apparently, Charlie Kirk got whacked a few hours ago. It seems pretty strange, but what I'm reminded when we're talking about the mayor's Office of Emergency Management, Rudy Giuliani was in the news very recently with a strange story as well. James, did you see that one? He's flagged down by a woman claiming sexual assault. He helps her and then is immediately seriously injured in a car crash. Again, the odds of the events being played out, the odds of the events being used to emotionally manipulate everybody from the Ukrainian refugees to the super all of it, man. They are pulling major psychological warfare here on the eve of 9/11 plus 24. All of this to say, dude was a cop, tried to go into Building 7 after the destruction of the South Tower. He was met by an unidentified man with a machine gun and a tactical vest. Bielicki said, even though he said, I'm NYPD, they didn't let him enter. He recounts that the man said, I don't care who you are, you're not coming in, you're not coming back in the Building 7. So, of course, they talk about all the security measures that all increased. And again, James, we're the old guys, what, still talking about 9/11? And while maybe the newer story is, of course, the catalyzing catastrophic events of the scamdemic. But they were already rolling out more emergency procedures, like, of course, using the dogs, using the mirrors under the buses to look for bombs, which they actually did as we were heading out of Japan, flying out of Tokyo, James, when we were visiting you there in 2019, looking under the vehicles to make sure nothing was attached, like pods under the plane's bellies, which was speculated about 24 years ago. Also odd, you know, none of the Silversteins managed to go to work on that day. Harley Shirt Guy could not be reached for comment. James, here we are again. 9/11 this time, plus 24.
Harley Guy, now that is a callback. I saw them collapse, first one, then the other, likely due to fire because the heat was just too intense. Wow, yeah. Well, anyway, for people who are as familiar with the 9/11 hokum story as we are, perhaps none of this is new news to you, except for that Bielicki interview on Freefall. I did have a chance to give it a listen. I think Andy and Craig did as good as they could, given the time constraints and given that it's a Zoom call, but wouldn't it be nice to hear that kind of testimony in an actual official hearing that actually had some legislative and judicial teeth to it? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Well, as people have seen from my recent coverage, there is at least the possibility being floated that we will be seeing new investigations, maybe even at the Senate level. So if people want more on that, they can see my recent interviews and they can check out the 9/11. Well, I guess it is currently underway as you are watching this, the 9/11 Turning the Tide conference. Having said that, with regards to KSM, as you noted, we've talked about this now for a decade and a half. So yes, waterboarded 183 times, testimony extracted under torture. Who is KSM really? Is he really the uncle of Ramzi Youssef? Who's Ramzi Youssef really? What was the Wojinga plot? All of these pieces of the puzzle, which are all giant question marks that would never, ever be admitted in any court because of the torture testimony that was illegally destroyed by the CIA after a judge ordered them not to. Nothing suspicious going on there, guys. Yeah, the whole thing stinks from top to bottom. But don't worry, guys. The MSM has branded KSM as the 9/11 mastermind from A to Z, and every single story you will ever read about him lists him as such. So, case closed, guys, just like Bush knew on the day of 9/11. It was Osama bin Laden, right? Nonsense. Total nonsense, top to bottom. But, at any rate, it is an ongoing part of the saga, that is 9/11, that we're standing here on the 24th anniversary now, continuing to mark down and commemorate, and also to sometimes dig up new information and new witnesses. So there is still things happening on the 9/11 front, and we'll be here covering them, no doubt, for many years to come.
And as we come to you again here on September 10th, we remember another important anniversary of that 2.3 trillion in the Pentagon they were talking about on September 10th. I'm sure we'll figure out where all that money went any time now. And as we have learned with the Epstein saga, they don't care if we know they are sex predators at best. They don't want you to find out how much money they printed and stole from all of us. That is how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 603. Again, New World Next Week celebrating its 16th anniversary next month in October. James, as we move to a story I was really excited to be able to follow up. Recall back in April of this year, New World Next Week, episode 588, Autism Solved by September. And we do actually have follow-up from the state. That's, again, James, been the fascinating thing of the MAHA agenda and Trump 2.0. Things do actually seem to kind of happen. You might also recall, and I still thank Adam and John at No Agenda and all that were behind it, Media Monarchy Remixed from that New World Next Week episode talking about RFKJ knows its vaccines and they're going to tell us by September. And here is the update. Kenview craters on report RFK Jr. to link autism to Tylenol use in pregnancy. Taking this from Zero Hedge, again, everything we talk about always linked up in the show notes. The stock of Tylenol maker Kenview, K-E-N-V-U-E, is crashing after a Wall Street Journal report according to which RFKJ plans to announce that pregnant women's use of an over-the-counter pain medication is potentially linked to autism in a report that will also suggest a medicine derived from folate, F-O-L-A-T-E, can be used to treat symptoms of the development disorder in some people. You're crazy. That's horse medicine, they might say. The report, sourced to people familiar and expected this month from the Department of Health and Human Services, is likely to highlight low levels of folate, an important vitamin, and Tylenol, which has been mass-produced since 1955, taken during pregnancy, as well as other potential causes of autism. So I have to say, most of us being surprised, this is not the move we thought was coming. A nice little sneak jab from the side. Kennedy's department also plans to pinpoint a form of folate known as folinic acid or leucovorin. Double check that on me. People said as a way to decrease the symptoms of autism, which affected roughly 1 in 31 8-year-olds in the U.S. in 2002. And often the joke that we make, to laugh, to not cry. When we went to school, we weren't all having heart attacks and pericarditis, and I don't recall any kids in any classes with me with autism. This is, of course, the 70s and 80s and the before times. While a handful of previous studies indicated risks to fetal development, others found no association. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says it is safe to use in pregnancy, though it recommends pregnant women consult with their doctors before using it, as with all medicines. Tylenol is made by McNeil Consumer Healthcare, a division of Kenview, and other companies make similar acetaminophen-based products. Nothing is more important to us than the health and safety of the people who use our products, a Kenview spokesperson told the Wall Street Journal. We have continuously evaluated the science. The science, singular. And continue to believe there's no causal link between acetaminophen during pregnancy and autism. Of course, in a market where nobody's surprised when crazy things come out of left field on Friday, again, as we've been trying to sort of hopefully teach a little bit of media literacy 101, James, in the work that we do, Dumping Day Friday. Hey, we released it in the news. We didn't lie to you about any of this. It was just never reported on, and you had already left work for the weekend. Crazy things come out of left field on a Friday. The stock of KVUE plunged, losing 12% of its value because of RFKJ. Long leeches, short Tylenol pair trade was taking on water in recent decades. And I haven't looked it back up, but as usually is the case in a lot of these guys, they've already earned all that back. The initial dip was nothing compared to the ability for them to be able to build back. But I also recall, James, that much like mainstream media, isn't Tylenol shown to destroy empathy? I believe we've discussed that right here on New World Next Week.
You know what? We have done so much coverage, I don't even remember that. But I'll look at our past coverage to remind myself of that particular story. It's hard to know what to make of this story, isn't it, James? Because, as you say, yeah, it's definitely kind of a weave maneuver, because surely the whole point of announcing I'm going to solve autism by September was to come to the preordained conclusion, well, it's the vaccines, right? And then they have the scientific basis for, you know, gutting the vaccine schedule, right? That was what this was all about. But now it's Tylenol? What? Acetaminophen? And now, in order to solve this, we're going to have a different drug called Leucovorin, or however it's pronounced, in which we can start prescribing now. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this, other than it is an interesting development. I know everyone out there has already come to their own conclusions about Maha and RFK Jr. and whether he's on the level or not, or whatever. I have not. I still think there's an interesting mixture of things going on. Some that are definitely positive developments about getting food additives and other things out and calling out some of the underhanded practices of Big Pharma. Those are to the good. But then there are the things about, you know, everyone should have wearables and trackables to, you know, or mRNA vaccines to cure cancer and this kind of stuff. Like, there's definitely a weird mixture. And then having Bill Gates at, you know, Donald Trump's little White House shindig on the same day that RFK Jr. was getting grilled by Elizabeth Warren and all the... I don't know. There's some weird mixed signals going on. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. May, guys, I guess autism has been solved. All right, thing of the past. I'll hold my breath on that one. But I think I keep coming back to the same point over and over. Make America Healthy Again is not about RFK Jr. It is not about the government. It is not about the politicians. It is about the people being extremely concerned about the known and documentable health effects of this Big Pharma poison swill. So to the extent that awareness is being raised on those issues, it's a good thing. The Maha idea is a good idea, whichever political person is wielding it as a cudgel at the moment.
We often have to remind ourselves, both here at home and when I'm on air, discussions or arguments, that it's not all one thing. Correlation is not causation. The very thing those pharma bastards say against us is of course true half the time. It's not all one thing. It's not all this. It's not all that. RFK is not the savior. Trump isn't necessarily the antichrist. Or maybe he is. I don't know. That's really not my concern. I think we've been at this long enough now. Again, it's feeling like I'm a little burnt out here. As I'll tell you why in just a few moments, it reaches a point, James is like, I think we know the New World Order's bad. I think we see a lot of its points and claws coming at us, and we know a lot of the good ways to avoid that. But we don't have it all figured out. What's all this to say, James? I started Media Monarchy 20 years ago this week. My 20th anniversary for the website. Yay. Is September 11th, 2005. I started it on a Google blog spot. Don't tell anybody I was using Google to try and fight the New World Order back in 2005, because it was free. It was easy to set up a new website. I think the first thing I ever spent money on Media Monarchy, James, I bought the .com and made the blog spot point to the .com so I could at least feel like, hey, I've got my own website, MediaMonarchy.com. And all I was initially doing, posting stories that had some kind of musical side to it. If I could go at the New World Order through my best angle, through music, through media, that's what I was going to do. I've mentioned on these shows before, the very first post, September 11th, 2005, Electronic Behavior Control System. It's a song actually by the group Emergency Broadcast Network. Folks might remember them for their We Will Rock You. They were using mashups and stealing from culture. The very thing U2 sued the group Negative Land about, they would imitate a few years later because that was the new thing. U2 had Emergency Broadcast Network actually open for them on some of their Zoo TV tours as they got in front of the parade and again acted like they were leading it. All I wrote in that post, James, dead propagandist Edward Bernays called it the engineering of consent. I like the term partipulation. Participate in your own manipulation. It's happening right now. You're soaking in it. You're soaking in it, of course, the Palmolive Madge joke of media. Again, using media to hopefully get at deeper truths was, that's all I had really planned for Media Monarchy. I didn't have gainful employment. I was working as a temp for the Northwest Film Center in Portland, Oregon, which was a fantastic gig, but I knew something that wasn't actually going to last very long. It was not until actually October of 2006, a full year and a month into being Media Monarchy, that I started the radio show at the late, great Portland Radio Authority, originally a pirate station back in Portland, Oregon, man. And I was getting played by pirate radio stations, low-watt FM stations all around the country, Boulder and in Montana. In some ways, James, I think this is like my Orson Welles event. I started at the top and I've slowly worked my way down over 20 years to where I feel like nobody knows who I am and I don't get a lot of, I get no regards. I get no respect. I was checking out, because a lot of those early episodes, I didn't actually post them to MediaMonarchy.com. When I was first doing them, I didn't feel confident enough about sharing them with people. I don't think it was until episode 11. So it would have to have been doing Media Monarchy for a couple of months before I finally posted the episodes up to share. And I was looking at archive.org, where a lot of my early stuff is still originally hosted. I kept scrolling and scrolling and seeing all the videos I used to make, James. I would do live video while I was doing live radio, and I would post those to Ustream. Do you remember the letter U? Ustream. I used that. I was able to put it immediately up on YouTube back in the day. So I have hundreds, if not thousands, of video clips that I've made from my live radio shows that you can find. I'll link them up for you at archive.org. And again, I wish I had a gang of producers. You know how the big shows, whether it's TV or whatever, they've got gangs of producers who have put together all kinds of little sizzle reel and the best clips and the funniest moments of the monarchy kingdom, but all I can do is what I do and keep doing the work. I do have some exclusive birthday testimonials from James Corbett and Richard Grove and maybe T-Laugh that I'll get to play on my anniversary show tomorrow, James. Much like this segment, I suppose. I don't have actually a lot planned for it. I'm just going to talk about being Media Monarchy for 20 years, and I guess the biggest new thing I want to announce is I'm not shutting down the Media Monarchy Discord, which has been the members-only community we've used for a long time, but of course, it's a third-party platform. I have no control over it whatsoever. 2 years ago, we were threatened to shut down the whole server for medical misinformation. I'm sure we discussed that here. I probably shared the screen grab. Nothing ever came of it. I, of course, didn't run around trying to delete things, hoping I would be okay. But there was no follow-up, much like general mainstream media. There was the threat, but then no actual follow-up. The big announcement, James, I've worked with a guy named Jason, and I have a whole new stream lobby at MediaMonarchy.com/stream. This will be for members only. So when people might start to say, hey, I can't get your live stream anymore. Hey, your newest episode isn't immediately up for free for everybody. I had to move it behind MediaMonarchy.com. And I think, as I noted recently, it's not a paywall. Think of it like a cover charge. Media Monarchy's been a kick-ass rock band for 20 years and need to do a little bit of a cover charge. This is all to say there's a 24/7 stream of all news. News that I've made for the last 20 years. A 24/7 stream of music. All the music shows I've made the last few years. And I think one of the coolest ones are the different genre streams, one for each day, like I do in Media Monarchy. Monday's rock and roll, Tuesday's techno, Wednesday's country, Thursday's weird, and Friday's pop. Those are all available 24/7, so if you are a hardcore house music all-night techno fan, I've got 24/7 techno running. I enjoy listening to it myself, James. And I also remind people, I opened up buymeacoffee.com/MediaMonarchy as a way, again, for people who want to support my work but who aren't necessarily going to have time to listen to the radio. Who has time to listen to the radio anymore, James? Everybody's got podcasts to make. that is my hard sell for my 20th anniversary, James, as I take a victory.
Everybody now, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Media Monarchy. Happy birthday to you. And Brock will put all the confetti on the screen and everything. Excellent. Amazing. Awesome. This is truly a good story. An absolutely unmitigated good story. Great. I'm glad to hear it. Because, you know, as I have grown a bit older, and now when I make jokes about being an old man, they're not really jokes anymore, it is good to have someone to look up to as the older brother in the alt media who is blazing the trail before me. See, he's even older than me. He was doing it before me. So, hats off to you. I can say this as someone who does this type of work for a living. I know how much work goes into this type of production, this media production. It's much more than what people see or hear on the screen. So I can appreciate you've done a hell of a lot of work. So give yourself a gigantic pat on the back. I hope that the New World Next Week audience will take the time to give you a little happy birthday greeting and a pat on the back, because you definitely deserve it for the work you've been doing. I hope people will take you up on that Media Monarchy stream idea. Become members of Media Monarchy. Join the club. I think it's an excellent idea. And truly, as more and more people start to filter off into these algorithmically controlled platforms, hey, why not actually have your own platform that you control? Wow, what an idea. It's like we're going back to the 2005 days, but instead of, you know, Google or Blogspot or whatever, no, we can actually run our own websites. And I wish more people in the independent media space would do that. So hats off to you. Thank you for all the work you've done over the years, buddy. I'm so glad that we were able to connect and to do this program now for 16 years. We're old men. Cool.
I think I first reached out to you. I've tried to find the original emails. I have not been able to do that. It would have been in 2007, 8. I said, hey man, love the show. Keep up the good work. There weren't a ton of people making podcasts. And again, I think this is something to point out. We were doing this back before it was the easiest thing in the world. Here, push this button, open this thing. Here's the video. It'll post it all for you. You don't have to do crap. We had to do everything ourselves. I've been around since before Joe Rogan Experience, since before Mark Maron, who's now, he's retiring from his show. And even before, yes, the pod father himself, Adam Curry and John Dvorak of No Agenda, Media Monarchy has been around longer than all of those places. As I joke on the show, rarely imitated, never duplicated, James. I get to play the exclusive episodes of These New World Next Week, audio style, on my radio station. And again, why aren't you do video? Why aren't your video better? I'm a radio guy. I've done radio since 1995, James. It hit me last month. Oh, crap. It's been 30 years ago since I went to college. But that's when I started to do radio pretty much all the time and have never really stopped since then. So I'll play the exclusive audio of this New World Next Week, episode 603, tomorrow after my show, which you can still listen to for free at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. And of course, NewWorldNextWeek.com is the source for Corporate Report. USBs and DVDs and monarchy gear and shirts and octopus radio plays. And again, you've never heard an ad on any of our work. We're not the best. We don't have the flashiest production, but I really think the proof is in the pudding of Media Monarchy, Corber Report, and New World Next Week. James, there it is, buddy.
I love you. I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, and let's keep doing New World Next Week. And on that note, let's leave it there for this week. James, thank you for the stories.
Thank you so much, man. Take care.